B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Daily. Hello, ciao, konnichiwa, annyeonghaseyo.
What was that last one?
Annyeonghaseyo.
What is that?
Korean.
Oh, learning.
Anyway.
Buongiorno.
We have a new voice with us just for today. The host of the Owl's Nest, as well as the other identity, and one of the hosts of the Checkpoint XP nationally syndicated radio show, Robbie Landis is joining us on the show today.
Welcome. What up, guys? What up?
Welcome.
Sound happy to be here, I guess.
I'd still be in bed if I didn't come in for this.
Callie is here as well, and so is Chad Callahan. We start today at Worlds. It's still happening.
What a difference a day makes, kind of, I guess.
Not really.
You shocked me a little bit with some news coming out of Worlds this morning, though.
Team Liquid picking up a win. It's amazing.
Does it matter?
No.
No, it doesn't. So it does because of who they beat. So they beat G2.
Does it matter for Liquid?
It might, actually. Oh. So now their group now is suddenly 2 teams at 2-1 and 2 teams at 1-2. It makes a difference is one game at this point. You actually could come back. They played themselves back into it. Do I think they will?
No.
I'm sorry. They have to go. So they play 3 times on Thursday morning. And that'll be the end of their group stages.
Yep.
They need to win 2 of them.
Yes.
So they've shown they can beat G2. So there's maybe 1 if they can beat them again. They need to either take a game from Machi Esports or Suning to advance. Can they do it, Norris?
No, they can't.
Let me
explain this. I said previously when we were doing Checkpoint AFK that I believed Team Liquid was a team that could play G2 because most of that personnel that played them way back at MSI when I was a thing, MSI when I was a thing, they played them well.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that they were, competitive, but they played them well. I thought that they could beat G2. I was worried about could they do that twice,
right,
as well as beat the other teams. What I saw against G2 was the usual Team Liquid that I expect them to play as. I think that is hard to do against the PCS region, the Chinese region, and the Korean region. I think against EU it works a little bit, but playing a slow, methodical building style game against a Chinese or any Asia region team simply is not going to work.
Yeah, the only thing that gives me a shred of hope is something that Tactical said when they were interviewing the other day. He said that, we got into this mindset at play-in stages of, we can just kind of do whatever we want and see how it works. And then we got to the group stages, and that kind of got smacked in our face. Like, no, you can't just do that at group stages. You're playing the best teams in the world. You better play orcs. And that kind of makes sense. They played some comps that were pretty questionable in the first couple days. And then they looked a lot better today. I still don't think I buy it, though.
No, me neither. I think when you look at the way they played against Machi and you look at the way they ended up playing against Suning, I think those teams, just based on their philosophies on how they play, will beat Team Liquid. Because at any moment, both of those teams are going to go, it's 10 minutes in. I guess we'll just throw everything down at bot, whatever. And they'll get 3 kills.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, they're ahead for the rest of the game.
Meanwhile, TSM loses. They're now 0-3. Their season's all but done. I mean, they'll play their last 3 games. Yeah. But unless they win all 3, they're pretty much out. And FlyQuest drops another game. Now, to be fair, they took, DRX all the way? Like,
they played them, boys.
They played them hard.
Yeah.
So I
told you, FlyQuest, for as much as I joke and laugh around them, FlyQuest has a chance. But They need top esports to not look like top esports for them to advance.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, but it's still looking a little bleak for NA. As with many years before, Team Liquid is going to be our best bet. But don't put your money on them.
Yeah. Moving on, we've got to talk a little bit about The Batman, which has been delayed until March 2022. I'm actually happy we've got Robbie of the Other Identity here. Are you looking forward to The Batman?
Yes and no. I'm not looking forward to it, but on the other identity last week, we actually ranked the Batman and then talked a little bit about this one. And, you know, something that for some reason I didn't immediately, like, turn on to with that trailer is they're essentially telling the same story that the Nolan movies told, right? Mm-hmm, the early sort of year one version of Bruce as Batman. Now,
right.
I mean, obviously it is going to be different. You have the Riddler and the Penguin instead of Joker and Bane, and I think Scarecrow was in there.
Scarecrow was the first one. Yeah, Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, I like everything that I see, but it just looks like it's, you know, going to potentially be just another take on that, while also still being dark.
I'm tired of origin stories.
See, and exactly, but you know what? That is exactly why the Spider-Man PS4 game was so great, because they didn't waste time with a Spider-Man origin story.
Or the Spider-Man movies with Tom Holland as well.
Yeah, that's fair. Don't waste time with that. We know, okay?
Well, and here's the thing. I don't think that we're going to see the origins in the same way that in Batman Begins we really saw him becoming.
Even if we, because that's the story. This story is Batman Year One, so this is low-tech Batman. This is still young and scrappy Batman. I'm a beat the hell out you, Batman. But I don't care. I feel like after those Nolan movies, and this is the problem with just superhero films in general right now, outside of Marvel, who understood that they needed to take a damn break for a little bit, like, I'm exhausted. I am burned out on certain IPs. Batman is very near the top of the list of IPs
That's fair.
I don't need to see anything else from for a while.
I can't really argue with that.
So moving in the other direction, The Matrix 4, meanwhile, gets moved up.
Bring it here!
It's going to be December 2021.
Bring it!
You know what? I'm ready for a new Matrix
movie. I want to see how bad it's going to be.
It's been, what, now 18 years since we've had a Matrix movie?
Ooh,
no, not quite. 15 years.
15 years. I was going to say, it ain't been that long.
2005-ish,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because the first one was 99.
And then the other two were kind of back-to-back
in 03,
04, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, we got a Matrix movie that's been moving up December 2021, so just over a year away. I'm ready. I mean, maybe I just need more Keanu on the big screen. Maybe
everyone,
that's all I actually
wait,
care about.
Everyone needs more
Does this
Keanu.
Mean we're not going to have a Keanu day anymore?
We're not going to have Keanu
Aww,
day.
Oh, that was exciting for me.
Yeah,
I wanted a Keanu day hard.
So apparently, if everything were to hold true, the new John Wick movie and The Matrix 4 would have come out on the same day.
Yeah.
would have been Keanu Day in the movies.
It would have been Keanu Day. Dude, how many movie theaters, which you know are hurting bad, would have ran just the Keanu Day double feature?
Yeah, where they play all three Matrix movies, followed by all the John Wick movies.
Wow, first of all.
I think that... I wouldn't doubt that's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they do that with the Lord of the Rings currently, Harry Potter. They do these all the time. It would be very smart to get people in the door all day.
And in a post-COVID world, you have to do whatever you can to get them there.
Exactly. You need to put booties in the seats, flat out. You know. And so I'm really excited about the new Matrix movie, because here's the thing. On one hand, if I go in and it's amazing, you gave me another amazing Matrix movie, which you haven't been able to do since the first one.
Yep.
I was gonna say,
awesome. If I go in and it sucks, I don't care.
Worst case scenario, you watch Keanu Reeves for 2 hours.
That's it.
Well, and on top of that, too, we know what we're getting out of something like The Batman, because it's just telling the same story again.
Yeah.
Where's the Matrix going from here?
I have no idea.
Nobody knows.
And that's the beauty of it, is I have no clue what on
no expectations
earth.
Just going in with a blank slate.
I have no idea what this movie's about.
Our last bit of movie news, actually, Chad, I'm gonna turn it over to you. We've got some Resident Evil news.
Yeah, Resident Evil's getting a reboot, which, thank God,
okay,
I'm
I'll
so happy.
No more Mila Jovovich.
No Mila. No
I'm
more
out.
Mila.
No,
why are you
I'm
out?
Out?
I'm
that
out.
Only reason you watched it was because of Mila?
Yes, because the movies were terrible, but Mila's hot as hell.
I don't know.
Super
I mean, well, the next
I gotta
thing
tell
about-
you, Mila's hotness has not saved the last like four entries
no,
of that series.
You're right, but I'll tell you what Mila Jovovich does do for the Resident Evil movies. Right, they all get a multi-pass.
They all get it. You know what I can do? I can have her just stare at me.
That's
just
2 hours.
I just want 2 hours of her just staring at me. I'll buy
and
it.
And her saying your name just ever so slightly.
Yes. Yeah, I'm in.
All right. Well,
Jovovich ASMR.
Sold.
Whoa, now. Hold on. Hold on. It got a little tight somewhere.
Well, the nice thing about this is it's actually going to... set in Raccoon City in 1998. So
they're
we're going
to
get
being based on the first two games,
it's
right?
It's going to be faithful, it says, faithful ties.
Quote, unquote.
Yep, there's faithful ties to Capcom's classic horror game. So,
let me put it this way. The thing about Resident Evil that is hard to translate into movies, it is hard to translate. First of all, nobody would build a house or a police station in that way. That is why it is hard.
It was built into a museum, Norris.
It's
an old building that they just reformatted.
If you built a museum that way, it is clear that that architect had a torture porn fetish, okay?
Have you been to the torture museum?
If it was built in the 1800s, he probably did.
Yeah, you're probably
right. He probably had syphilis.
But anyway, those are all really cool things. I'm looking forward to all of those films. I'm really looking forward to the new Matrix film. I'm also really looking forward to what we could do with a new Resident Evil film if it stays faithful to the two. Who play? Do we finally get like a good Wesker?
Don't worry, you'll get your good Wesker in the Netflix adaptation.
We have an Albert Wesker. It is what is his name? Tom Hopper from Umbrella Academy. He's a young Wesker.
Which one is
he's
he?
He's the big monkey guy.
Oh, that dude.
Hulking guy.
Yep.
All right.
Which makes sense because it kind of parallels now that I think about it.
Right. You can pull it off.
Right. All yeah. right.
When I first heard it, I was like, I don't know. But now that I've made that connection to Umbrella Academy, it's like, that's why he got that role. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Okay. I'm in. I think these are all really good ideas. I'm happy for them. And hopefully NA cannot disappoint at Worlds. But they will.
Yep.
Anyway, we got more coming up on this episode.
Hold up, we're not done yet. We got the big news of the day to hit on.
Which is?
Baldur's Gate 3 drops today.
All right! Robbie, as generation RPG. Hold on. As our resident dungeon master, you got to give me the lowdown on this because I'm not big on a high fantasy or Dungeons & Dragons or anything like that, but I saw this and this looks good.
Look, we all grew up on the Final Fantasies. We all grew up in the golden age of the RPGs,
yes.
All right? And they are billing this. I'm not usually one for buzzwords, but this one got me. They are billing this as a next generation RPG. And that's nothing to do with the graphics or anything. We're talking about unprecedented levels of exploration.
Immersion.
Being able to interact with your environments.
Romance.
Now, Norris, you were telling me about the romance options earlier.
All right, so let me explain this, all right? Every RPG nowadays have to have some sort of romance sub-quest.
Yep, I need that.
You know, you have to have that.
Okay.
Right? Okay.
If you want me to play, you do.
Mass Effect and Dragon Age changed the game.
Changed it up.
I guess.
So they were talking about this in one of their developer videos about the romance options and how they were going about it because it's got to be next gen, as Robbie said. They showed some of the storyboards.
The flow charts.
The preliminary storyboards to what these romance scenes looked like. Wow.
Norris recoiled in horror.
But in a good way.
Like, what, you're trying to sell me on this game, all
no,
right?
No, it was like
it's so complex.
It was like some stuff you would have saw at Teasers or Lover's Lane or something like that.
Speaking of moving the denim, holy
cow.
it was
real intense. And so I am not, they're going to have to do a lot not to get slapped with the AL on this one. I'm going to be honest.
I'm into this.
You know, and Robbie, you said you're going to stream this later?
I called my girlfriend because it came out at 1. I was here, so I'm like, buy it, download it. I'm coming home soon.
All right.
Well, head on over tonight.
You need to have a counter up to see how long you go before seeing a boob. Have a boob counter.
Okay, if there is a boob, you might want to censor some stuff.
The game is the game,
Chad.
Yeah,
the game is the game.
But that will be at my personal channel, which is twitch.tv/Robbie_Landis.
There you go. Hey, as a matter of fact, dude, people have streamed games with nudity in it.
Have they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, there is a lot of nudity in Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
There's a lot of boobs. You just can't stream, like, sex games.
Yes.
Okay.
You can't, like, stream Subverse.
I don't know what that is, but sure.
Ask Callie.
I can't wait for that. Still not out yet. Not here yet.
Ask Callie.
All right.
Anyway, so that is the end of that. We got more coming up on Checkpoint Daily, where Robbie is going to be walking us through a preview of the Overwatch League Grand Finals. Stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Step into the secret lair of the great Landis and Professor Awesome on The Other Identity. Joining on the adventure of a lifetime is Robbie Landis and former editorial director of digital content at Marvel, Ben Morris, team up to defeat the evils of bad comic book opinions. We've added a new voice to the line in Kevin Kelly as The Opinion. We also break down the newest issues of heroes like the Hulk or Captain Marvel. Discover a whole new lair to the world of superheroes and comics on The Other Identity. Download at CheckpointXP.com or download from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Joined here by Robbie Landis, Callie Sloan, and Chad Callahan. One of the biggest events in esports is going down this weekend. That is correct. The Overwatch Grand Finals start this weekend, and so we had to bring in a ringer on this because I would be shouting into a abyss talking about Overwatch by myself. So that's another reason why Robbie is joining us here on the show. Also host of the Owl's Nest, where you can catch on all of our Checkpoint XP outlets, whether it be YouTube, you can check the website and all that stuff. But Robbie, it's been a tumultuous season for Overwatch,
to say the least,
yeah, as it's been for most everybody. But it seems like Overwatch, more than almost any other esport besides fighting games, obviously. What is this weekend going to look like? And for you as a fan, will this feel like a real championship?
Yeah, actually, I think that this is going to be more of a championship than anything that we've seen in the past. You know, in the inaugural season, there was a few upsets. Obviously, you know, it wasn't the first and second seed that ended up making it there.
Right.
The Spitfire and the Fusion, while well-earned, were not the teams that I think people expected early on the season to go. Obviously, last year, the two top teams did make it between the Shock and the Vancouver Titans, but the finals themselves...
crap.
Yeah, it was over fast. But this year now, I think all but one of the teams that you expected to make it made it. Of course, you got the San Francisco Shock that are coming in ready to cement their dynasty. They are ready to be the Patriots of this league. You have the Philadelphia.
That is high praise, sir.
That's what it is. Absolutely. That's 100% what it is. And then we also have the Philadelphia Fusion, who had a little bit of a down 2019, but have came back really, really hot and are kind of trying to prove that, you know, the first runner-ups that they were in the inaugural season, they deserve to be there. The Seoul Dynasty, they were the ones that kind of snuck in there a little bit. Not to say that they shouldn't be there, but compared to the other APAC teams, they definitely had a bit of a shaky start to their season. And then, of course, you have the anime storyline that's looking to find its conclusion. The Shanghai Dragons.
The formerly 0 and was it 42?
0-40.
0-40.
Which I believe is a record
within all professional sports
for the worst. They were kind of middling last season. And then this season, they are the number one seed regular season. I don't know that they can be stopped, but if anyone's going to stop... All right, first of all, look, any given payload, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. But what's most likely to happen is it's going to be the Shanghai Dragons versus the San Francisco Shock. That's what I'm calling right now.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that the Shock make the run through the winner's bracket, because if you send the Shock to the loser's bracket...
They'll win forever.
You're done. You're over with. That unlocks like the Super Saiyan within them, or like
yeah,
the demon
they'll,
mode
they'll,
within
they'll go
them.
Ultra Instinct.
Yeah.
And they can't be stopped. I completely agree with you. And one of the main things that I love about this format is that previously we saw some of these teams after the split where the North American teams stayed in North America and the teams that, you know, were based in Asia plus New York all moved over to the Asia Pacific region. They all played each other. I think it'll be interesting because, and Robbie, you and I talked about this previously, I feel like the Shock were so much more far and away better than every other team in North America, But they play more. They play different teams more often.
Sure. So there's also a larger skill gap as well.
Yes, but they saw more comps. They saw more permutations, if you will, more variables. And so I think it makes it easier for them to adjust to whatever Asia Pacific is going to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Shanghai, however, has played a higher quality of opponent more often. And so what you have is these two teams that are far and away the favorites that have two very different distinct styles and two very different approaches in who they've played against and how they play. I agree with you. I think that's our grand finals. And if it is, that's going to be the best Overwatch in the world to watch.
Do you think that the shock having to travel around to the other side of the world, spend 2 weeks quarantined, do you think that affects them at all?
I mean, they'll drop a map, maybe.
It has to. I don't think it can't not affect you. But the fact that they're flying over and then quarantining there, they're going to have plenty of time to adjust to the time zone. So mm-hmm. I don't think that it's as bad as it could be.
And it's just tough not being home for that long, of course.
Yeah, and I mean, they'll have the opportunity to practice and scrim. They'll mm-hmm. be, you know, still running through all the things that they need to do in order to be ready. I think the major thing here is that, does anybody play spoiler? That's the question I have, because from looking at, you know, Philly has the ability to just say, all right, whatever, turn it up, and then end up in the finals. Mm-hmm. They did it before.
That support line between Alarm and Funny Astro, I mean, Alarm won the Rookie of the Year this week. I mean, we saw near the end of the season the way that he was able to shut down dominant DPS like Sparkle on the Genji with pixel-perfect Ana dart placements.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's going to play the spoiler, I would probably put my money more on Philly than I would on Seoul.
I agree with you. As much as I like Seoul, you know me, I've rode for Seoul ever since season one, and I've been disappointed constantly.
It would be heartbreaking for me to know that Seoul wins and Ryu Zhenhong isn't there.
It would hurt your soul, essentially.
Shut up.
Oh, come on.
That was Ryu Zhenhong wrong.
Wow, you're muted, too. Everybody's muted.
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay, so do you honestly think that you would have saw the same same people going into this if there wasn't a COVID situation going on, if the home stands were still a thing, if everything was going on?
Three of them.
Do you think this would honestly be the same roster going into the grand finals?
Yes, because obviously, both Shanghai and San Francisco have been so dominant in both of their regions that I think if you would have added a few more, because really the only difference would have been is that Shanghai would have played more teams than just what was in the APAC region. What you probably, I don't even think you would have seen a bigger gap, because I think between the top teams, they had lost less than five games each.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think there would have been that big of a difference. You'd probably see...
I think Seoul's not there. I think Seoul having to go back to Seoul and be there and be at home and be comfortable gave them a slight advantage. I think Philly still makes it as well.
Yes, absolutely. They had a great year.
I think a team maybe like Guangzhou probably makes it. But even then, they ran out of steam real fast towards the end of the season.
Yeah, well, because the other thing you have to keep in mind is that if COVID wouldn't have happened, we wouldn't have had the everyone gets a chance to play in stage, right?
Right.
Yep. It would have just been like, I think it's the top eight, and then the other, I think, four beyond that would have had the play in stages. So, yeah, it's hard to know. The top three there definitely, I think Norris is right. Seoul probably wouldn't have been able to squeak it out, but they would have also been playing some weaker opponents on the NA side as well. So
true.
That makes it more exciting for fans, though, a little bit, if you think about it, because this is a whole different thing you didn't expect to see going into the grand finals.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So? Washington never would have had the run that they had if it wasn't for COVID.
Washington, yeah, I know. But, you know, it's interesting, and Chad, I agree with you that, you know, I think it's exciting because the teams that are supposed to be there are there, and then you have Seoul thrown in as a wild card. I think you always need a team that sort of makes a run farther than
the underdog.
Yeah, the underdog, a team that makes a run farther than what they're really supposed to. But everybody else belongs there. Absolutely.
100%.
Shanghai and San Francisco before anybody else belong there. I think that's your grand finals. Robbie, if you had to make a call right now for who is our 2020 Overwatch League champions, who are you going for?
So on this week's Owl's Nest, which isn't quite out yet but will be, Jake actually takes the safe bet in San Francisco. And just to make it a little bit dynamic, I took Shanghai. But I do think that the safe money is on San Francisco. They have the proven track record. There isn't a single wasted spot on their bench. And I think that they are able to adapt more quickly and more efficiently than what Shanghai can. And I also think that they probably have access to more comps that they can play at the top of their game compared to Shanghai.
I agree. The safe money is on San Francisco. But I'm pulling for Shanghai. I'm pulling for Shanghai. I'm putting that out there right now. I want the anime storyline to be complete. I want to see the complete turnaround of that organization. And I think if they win, I'm going to be honest. I think if they win, first of all, the league, I think the league wants Shanghai to win. I think the league needs Shanghai to win.
I think either one of them will be
the
fine.
The league needs Shanghai to win. San Francisco has won already. And who doesn't...
Spread the love, yeah.
Dude, no. Who doesn't want that? What league does not want their worst team from 2 years ago to go and win a championship 2 years later?
Every news organization, yes, regardless of esports or not, would talk about that.
That is the peak of parity. And it is exactly what you want to say. Listen, we have the most competitive league on the face of the planet. A team can turn it around in 2 years. Nobody can say that. So Overwatch League, I'm going to say this to my non-existent camera. All right? Overwatch League, you know what to do.
Well, I don't know. Calls for rampant cheating.
Like, right? Is that what I just heard? Oops, I tripped over the cord.
Man, no. One of the Shock players is going to get there with a broken arm.
No, I think it's going to be a great series.
Is this going to turn into I, Tonya real quick?
No, I think it's going to be great. I am pulling for Shanghai, but I do think the better team is San Francisco, and they'll probably win out. Anyway, that's the end of the show. Robbie, we want to thank you for joining us
always,
and sharing your Overwatch knowledge, as well as Chad Callahan, Callie Sloan. We will be here tomorrow live on Twitch.
Woo!
Don't forget about that. Tomorrow, every Wednesday for Checkpoint Daily, we will be here live on Twitch starting at 1 p.m. in the Eastern Time. So make sure you guys are here. That, we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. Wednesday is our biggest show of the week. So make sure you guys come here for that.
Yep, twitch.tv/checkpointxp for those who are new to the show.
So, for Chad Callahan, Callie Sloan, and Robbie Landis, I am Norris Howard. We will see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.